The end of 2018 is here. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. It has been a crazy year in the Star Wars galaxy, and probably a crazy year, I would say, for the Resistance broadcast. And we're going to talk about all of that on this episode right here. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Resistance broadcast, our final episode of 2018. I'm John Hoey. What we're going to do here today is a bit different than our usual news episode because, frankly, there's no news this week to get into. So instead of regurgitating old stuff or nonsensical rumors out there and that sort of thing and trailers that never happened, we're going to talk about the year that was Star Wars and the Resistance broadcast, from a review of all the guests we've had, stuff we broke on the podcast, our good takes, our bad takes, our hits, our misses, and a recap of the year and how it paralleled alongside things that came out in Star Wars. So joining me, as always, James Baney and Lacey Gillerin. Guys, our final episode of 2018. Did you have a good year on the podcast? And happy New Year's Eve to both of you. How are you?
Personally, I wanted to go with the let's talk about the trailer that didn't happen. I would love to hear a whole hour of people talking about, so I thought it was going to come out, and then it didn't.
Yeah.
And then I was like, whoa, it didn't come out.
It didn't come out. Yeah. crazy. Absolutely crazy. Lacey was hoping something was going to happen. How you doing?
I was really wishing it would happen. I'm doing great. It's been a good year for me with the podcast. I joined the podcast and talked about a lot of Star Wars. I look really artsy today with my glasses and my BB-8 scarf.
Yes.
I should have like a beret or something.
What is the name of the coffee shop that you are a barista for?
I don't know, but James needs some of that coffee. He's yawning up there. We're about 2 minutes into the show here.
I don't know. But I've got my mug.
Lacey, you joined when? April?
March.
March-ish, yeah.
March.
Whenever AwesomeCon was around then, right?
March, yep.
Yeah.
It wasn't April of the Resistance. Never mind.
Yeah.
Gosh. I joined in March.
Just silence.
March.
Of the Resistance.
Oh, of the Resistance.
Yeah.
I got it now.
It's
so hard sometimes, guys. All right, so basically what we're going to do here is just have a normal conversation about how our year went. I actually went back and listened to our first episode of 2018. That was before Lacey joined the crew, so me and James can touch base on that. Things were a lot different even back then. Like, our audio was worse, I think. We weren't on video yet. We were trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter with RBATSWNN, and we've come a long way with that. And we were taking guesses at certain things. I forget what we were even talking about. Will Solo be a success, I think, was our main topic of that episode, James, right?
The title of the episode was Will Solo Deliver?
And it's such a loaded question now, right?
It's funny now because it's like, with most things, it's like, will Kylo Ren die? And you know the answer by the end of the movie, but or whatever. But it's, will Solo deliver? And it's like, 50% of people are like, nope. And then the other 50 are like, heck yes.
Yeah. I don't think, because we had another episode too, and I'll talk about the guests we had on 2018 later. We'll get into that. But I know we had an episode with the guys from BSR, and we all like took our guesses at what the box office would be for Solo, and we were obviously all wrong. But I think even a couple of us said over a billion. So the Star Wars seemed immortal and invincible at that point until Solo's box office came out. Like, it was like a different world. Like, I remember leading up to Solo, we were like, well, it's going to do really well, like Rogue One-ish numbers. And like, you know, some people don't like The Last Jedi, but it's Han Solo and it's going to kick so much ass at the box office. And then it came out and even Disney was probably like, oh man, like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to be fair on those Solo predictions too, some of us were right just by being kind of wrong. Like, it will be the lowest earner.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. Yeah. And some of the group said no way, you know? So there were aspects of us being correct, just sometimes it wasn't always like, how correct were we, you know?
I'm pretty sure I said it would make more than Rogue One, and man, was I wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think like it would be interesting to go back and hear, you know, just what I had to say. I often say that it's more fun to listen to podcasts that are like outdated than it is to listen to the ones that are like up to date, because you get what you think people like are going to predict what's going to happen. But when it eventually does, you kind of forget what their predictions were. Sometimes right. It's good to go back and listen to episodes like before Aquaman came out. And then they're like, right. This movie's going to suck or whatever.
Right.
And then like, and then, you know, it, you see now that it, like, or Venom is a better example, because it's like, everybody was like aiming for that movie to bomb. And then it just like didn't. For whatever
How about
reason, you know,
every Star Wars podcast that came out before The Last Jedi came out. Everybody's like, Rian Johnson is a golden god, and the movie hasn't even come out yet. They're like,
I still believe that.
The greatest.
Yep. You know? Yeah.
And then half the people are like, he sucks. Like 2 weeks after that.
I'm still convinced there's one podcast out there that's like, I think he's going to throw the lightsaber behind his shoulder. You know, like, yeah, it just, they yeah, nailed yeah. everything yeah. about it. They're yeah. like, it's going to make money, but people are going to be divisive on it. You know? It's
yeah. Like, that one person, they keep reposting that episode and never make yeah. another episode. Yeah.
It's like, it's been shared like 500 times and it has like 3 views.
He's like, why is nobody listening to me?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for Star Wars in 2018, in my opinion, was that whole stuff about Solo and the marketing and the butting heads between Disney and Lucasfilm with that, almost like they got punished. And Bob Iger coming out and like saying like, we're taking a step back with these standalones and we need to reassess how we are handling this. And it probably put an end to any Star Wars movies coming out not in December. I think 2018 will be looked back as the year something changed, where Star Wars took its first big hit in terms of like it showing that it had vulnerabilities. And I think that
yeah,
is changing.
It showed that no direction. Franchise is untouchable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like Transformers is a good example of something that people have been hating on, and now Bumblebee's out and people love it. So yeah, it's like one of those things that like no franchise is ever untouchable in the
have
sense
of... Have you guys
of,
seen that yet?
I have not seen it yet, but I want to see
it. As of it airing, as of this episode airing, I will have, because I'm going to see it, you know, over the weekend. But but I haven't at this moment. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be great, I think.
It's just so shocking to me that, you know, John Kasdan brought this up a couple weeks ago, which was, you know, I wonder how Solo would have done if it came out today.
Yeah,
and it was this moment of you're just like, how would it have done? Because I felt like my December was empty. Like Christmas came too quick. There was nothing going on for me. I was just like, where's my Star Wars movie that I've been looking forward to for the whole year?
Well,
it just
I take
felt
the week off.
My year I usually fell off. Yeah.
I usually take the week off between Christmas and New Year's if I can, if I still have the time off. And, you know, the past
times,
few years I've been going 2 in the afternoon on a Tuesday to go see the Star Wars movie again. And, you know, we would have probably would have been doing that, Lacey. We would have been like, let's go see Solo. And I think you're right, because not just in a vacuum, like if Solo moved from May to December, but if they had 6 more months to put marketing out that had nothing to do with Denny's, you know, which is, you know, the dump diner of the world.
It's just a Christmas thing. Like, I love seeing Star Wars at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, this is the end of my year. I've been waiting all year for this. Here's the movie I want to see. I've been building up. My excitement's there. And then it's holiday time. And then it starts all over again. And I just missed that.
I don't remember, like, why didn't they put Alden and Glover and, like, even Jonas and Amelia, like, doing tour? I don't remember them going on, like, late night shows that much and stuff. Like, they didn't
really... They really didn't do a press tour. Not really. A little bit,
that could have been so fun, because Solo was such a damn fun movie. They could have had so much fun doing the late night tours and that stuff. I don't remember that really happening. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know, man. I think
they did a little, but not that much. Yeah. Not like when... Last Jedi came out, where they were, every single person was on every single thing.
Yeah, they're going on like Kimmel and playing games.
They were on Ellen and Kimmel and Conan.
Well,
and
Exactly. I think if I remember correctly, like when they do big launches like Avengers or like The Force Awakens, yeah, Avengers, and things, yeah, like that, you got the whole cast of the movie and it, right, was like a big event because, yeah, everybody was paying attention to that one late night show, which is usually Kimmel. That, yeah, gets it.
Yeah.
And I think that with Solo, they just kind of took it one by one. I remember we were talking a lot about separate interviews, like, oh, here's the breakdown of what Alden said in this, or Donald was on Fallon and he said this, you know what I mean?
I think, okay, it was more, actually, than that though, because they did BuzzFeed interviews. They did those Wired things where they ripped off, like,
yeah, but those are like internet asides.
No, I'm saying Last Jedi casted those things, and I don't, yeah, think Solo casted that, and Solo, okay, casted other shorter videos, mm, for like OMG, yeah, Disney and like all these other things that went on the Disney Channel, and like that wasn't there. Like, yeah, I feel like there's, yeah, so much content around The Last Jedi, especially, but Force Awakens 2, where they had them doing all these funny games and all these commercials. And, like, the only real thing I remember that comes to my mind is Emilia Clarke doing, like, a Snapchat ad where she's like, this is how Chewbacca says this. Way to, yeah, go, Chewbacca. And, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think, I definitely think it comes back to the whole, like, 2018 will be remembered as the year of like Solo and all of the things surrounding Solo.
I think they failed Solo, to be honest. I think that movie is so good. I think that the marketing failed it, because every time someone asks me if it's good, I say it is awesome. It is such a fun movie. And every time said person goes and sees it, they come back to me and said, you are completely right. It is an amazing movie.
Yeah, like Ron Howard, like, will retweet those occasionally, where, yep, someone will tweet at him and say, like, I didn't go see Solo yeah, because, you know, I didn't want to, or I didn't feel like it. And then,
yeah,
I heard it wasn't good. A lot of people said that. And it's like, where are they going to hear that stuff? Because I didn't hear that. And then, like, and then I saw it and I loved it. And he, like, retweets it. And it's like, that seems to be a theme I've noticed. So I think it got a bad rap and bad marketing, and like James saying.
And I think there were a lot of problems too with it, with the reshoots and the switching, yeah, of hands and.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot, yeah, of Star Wars movies did, but that one really had it heavily.
Yeah.
I also wonder if it was like, forget the marketing and all that. If it wouldn't have lost the directors, like if that whole thing just didn't happen, then you wouldn't have had people talking about inflated budget because of reshoots. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have had people talking about how they had to bring in a second director to fix the problem. Oh, there's a problem, you know? Yeah, it's a big problem, you know? That movie's going to be a mess. Just that one, like, initial thing. Like, I remember where it's funny. People talk about, like, I remember where I was when the Challenger exploded and stuff. It's like, I remember, yeah, where I was when I got the notification that said Chris Lord and,
Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Yeah. Were removed or will not be working on Solo anymore. And I was just like, no, like, what?
Yeah.
What? How does that happen? That's, I don't know. And then we got more of it too, because we got the Colin Trevorrow thing later after that.
That too. Almost felt like at once that door got kicked open where Phil Lord and Chris Miller were punted like months into production, then you hear about, mm-hmm, Trevorrow, you're like, oh yeah, I could see that.
I kind of like with Colin, I was just like, eh, whatever, because I'm not a big, mm-hmm, fan of his anyway. But
yeah, for, I didn't like the dress.
Lord and Miller
shooting.
Miller and Lord,
yeah,
upset me because I loved Lego Movie. And I mean, look at Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. People, mm-hmm, love that movie.
All right, but real quick on that, they aren't directing that. And only,
I know,
one,
but they're still,
yeah,
producers.
That.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you're not replacing the Kasdans on Solo who wrote Solo. So you
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, yeah, like, they have a good reputation that it made,
yes,
me excited,
yeah,
that they,
sure,
bring a fresh,
sure,
view to the series. Mm-hmm. And when they were removed, I was like, wait, like, that fresh take is now being taken away.
Yeah.
So
but again,
I got upset. But, yeah, I understand. And I loved Ron Howard. I loved what, mm-hmm, he did with it. I loved how it ended up being. I don't think it changed it in the sense of made it worse, yeah, or better or anything. I just remember being very disappointed that happened, because I loved the work that they had done with things like Lego Movie.
You know, if they never fired them, it probably finishes filming in like June, July, and we probably get the first trailer for it around Thanksgiving, or something like 6 months out. And then because they didn't finish filming with Ron Howard till late October, we didn't see something till Super Bowl. So they really had to cram it in. So like James is saying, if they never got fired, then the marketing machine is automatically going to be at least longer. We don't know how much they'd put into it, but I think, you know, all whispers were that they, Bob Iger pretty much punished them. And even when they put in the request, can we delay to December? He's like, nope. He's like, whatever, you're hitting that date. I'm tired of punting these things. We've punted a few of them already.
Right.
You're making the date, whatever, no matter
what. I'm curious if Solo was supposed to be kind of a experiment from the get-go. I know there were problems and reshoots and all that other stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, hey, we're going to stick this thing in May because we want to do this. Hey, we're not going to put our cast into these television shows or this typical type of marketing because we want to test this.
Maybe. That's a pretty big risk.
I know, but that's the thing is like for years and years and years, people have talked about how you can just make a movie and say it's the next Star Wars and then that be it. Like you already sold blank amount, you know? So I wonder if Disney was somewhat swayed by that idea that maybe we don't have to, or maybe we could do kind of unconventional marketing, because at the end of the day, as long as people know that it's coming out, they'll go see it. And
because they were on that level of Star Wars.
That might not have been the case, you know? So, so I don't know. It's just kind of interesting, and we'll never know. I mean, the closest I think we're ever going to get is Bob coming out and saying, "I messed up," you know?
Yeah, right. And he will never
like,
do that.
I don't know if that was like him being angry or if that was him saying like, "I've got this really good idea and it's totally going to work." Like I, you know, we're never going to know, but
we know that Larry Kasdan, I think part of his deal to come back and do The Force Awakens was that he wants to write Solo, which was a project Lucas was working with him on before the sale. So it was almost like a passion project, like a side deal. It almost makes you think like, oh, well, now we got to make this Solo movie because of this contingency. And maybe even Lucas said, I'm passing you along, but you have to make the Solo movie with Larry. Cause I told him we were going to do that. And maybe Bob and Kathleen Kennedy weren't too into a Solo movie. And maybe that's why they didn't market it too well. And maybe that's why she had problems with production. And, you know, it can go that far back, man. It really could.
Yeah. You know, you're right. That would be really funny for everybody to say like, oh, Bob Iger and Kathleen Kennedy don't have a heartbeat on what we really want. And they're like, no, we do. We wish we could come out and say, we don't really want to do this movie.
Yeah.
This isn't our vibe.
Which movie did George Lucas show up and hang out on? Solo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want anybody, any listener to think like, that's where we're putting our money. We've just figured it out.
Yeah.
But the thing is like it's interesting to think about that stuff because we don't know. Nobody knows. So is that a possibility? Yeah, that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
So when you don't know anything about a person or the history or what their real inner mind is thinking and how they're planning things, like we shouldn't say that this person's completely failing us because we don't know that their hands aren't tied, that they have to make this dumb Solo movie.
Yeah.
And they're totally thinking the same thing you are, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess people would say, but they also made Last Jedi. I don't know. Yeah. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that we got this year besides Solo itself. And that was, we got, I was just kind of like browsing through all the media. I went through the media timeline on Wikipedia and I kind of looked at all the stuff we got, which were novelizations of The Last Jedi came out this year, not the year 2017. We got Thrawn Alliances, we got Most Wanted, we got Last Shot, and we got the Solo novelization. We got a Resistance TV show. We got the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel launch.
Forces
I'm not going to mention like, but Forces of Destiny was around before that.
Forces of Destiny has gone away too this year.
Yeah. So, but I didn't want to get into all the specifics of all these little things, but I think like a new channel devoted to Star Wars was kind of worth mentioning. What I thought was also interesting this year is we got no video game. Nothing for mobile, nothing for consoles.
Yeah, Battlefront 2 was last year, right?
For PC. Yep, Battlefront 2 was the most recent. And
just
then,
the mods they added, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, like things to hold you over, like additions,
The announcement of that for next year, the Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, people are pumped about that.
Yes. But again, to reiterate, no launch of a new video game property.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Even down to like a mobile game where it's just like, I don't know, like a card game or something, you know, like
the closest thing would be
it's kind of surprising.
That VR Vader thing that launched at Disney. I forget what that was called, but you're
Talking of the Empire.
Something Empire, yeah.
Is it Rise of the Empire?
I forget.
I can't remember.
I know Mustafar is involved, and it's a VR experience down at Disney Springs or wherever it was.
That's
probably the closest you could say to a video game experience in 2018, but that's a good point, James. They didn't have any launches. I think they're stumbling a lot with these Star Wars games, these video games. But
I think it's difficult because of the open world aspect, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess so. I'm not really sure.
What about...
But no...
Oh, go ahead.
I just the novels, I guess, the Thrawn Alliances, and we'll talk a little bit more about 2019 on Thursday, but Thrawn Alliances really opened up things for that character. Most Wanted and Last Shot were both based on the movie, and I don't think people read Most Wanted to begin with, and then I think Last Shot was kind of mixed reviews.
I didn't love Last Shot. I thought it was really obscure. I felt, and we talked about this on the podcast this year.
You talked to it with Alex Damon.
Yeah, that was
Alex's
that's
episode.
Right. Star Wars Explained came on, and we'll talk more about we'll run down our guests from this past year in a little bit, but we kind of gave our review of that novel, and James, I think you made a really good point on that episode where you were like, I don't know much about DJ Older, but James is saying, tell me, shower me with the compliments.
What did I say?
You said, I don't know much about DJ Older or his fandom, but it sounds like he had all the references he made to other stuff in Star Wars is something a very casual fan of the galaxy or the franchise mm-hmm. would say. So he talks about a Gungan and he talks about, you know, stuff on the surface.
He wrote what he knew.
Yeah, right. And I thought that was a good point. And I think that kind of made me feel like Last Shot was more of a fanfic type of situation or a fan, like I'm a fan of this instead of like I'm writing in Star Wars. And some of his like situational and word choices were a little odd and off the point to me. So I didn't love Last Shot, I'll admit that. And then The Last Jedi was almost like, that was a deep burn. So I'm hit or miss with the solo. I actually did like Mer Lafferty's solo novelization because of some of the Rio Durant stuff she added in there. He had a gruesome death in her book. But I'm also not a big novelization guy of the movies. I don't know about you guys.
So I have recently kind of changed my mind on the novelizations because of conversations we've had on Twitter. You know, I read those books and I go, oh, it's cool. There's this thing that happens and this thing that happens. But I tend to find that a lot of the stuff that's written in the novelization is what I believe the author's interpretation is. And it's not necessarily something that we can latch on to as a fact. And I think my main kind of concept for that my main understanding is like I don't know what I'm trying to say here, man. When a novelist writes a story, they put all of the character's thoughts that go through their head. So sometimes someone might say, I thought about doing the right thing, and then I thought about doing the wrong thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And whichever one that author chooses to write about people pull to as fact. Like, look, they were thinking about doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then like other people will be like, oh, but look, in this other novel, he was thinking about doing the wrong thing. Both things are true because you're writing their like mind. You're not writing like what they really did, like a factual thing. Like a factual thing, Kylo Ren killed Han Solo, right? What was going through his head when it was happening? Probably a lot of really good things. And, you know, like I say good things like regret, like I probably shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. And probably also a lot of other things like this is what needs to be done. When this is finished, I will be so much happier, you know? So, like, What the authors are writing about, I think, are just like kind of throwaway things that causes a lot of problems ultimately. Not to say they shouldn't be done. Just I think people need to take the novelizations with a grain of salt. They're really written for people that maybe just want to re-experience the story in a different light. But to hold things so tightly, which is how I always started reading them, I was like, oh, there's going to be all these little details about you know, like, oh, there's a boy in the vision. Who's the boy? You know, I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard that brought up. And honestly, sometimes I just think like the author was like, whatever. I don't know. It was like a silhouette of a person. It wasn't supposed to be even anybody.
Do you ever think that they like even Lucasfilm or even like the movie creators like J.J. Rian Johnson, like almost, I mean, they praise these books. I know they do publicly, but do you ever think sometimes they're like, man, I wish we didn't open this can of worms and have novelizations made, because they're used more as like talking point missiles, in my opinion, than they serve good.
I guess, but I don't think that would ever be the case. I think they're an expanded view of what the story is in the movie. And I think that's why it came out after the movie. I think that's why, you know, I get what you're saying, John, and I know exactly what you're aiming for, because people bring details out of these books to defend their Kylo Ren views or their Reylo views.
And then Martin has to hop on Twitter like, no, this is that. And
I know, like, that's what you mean. But at the same time, like, the little detail moments that aren't in movies, like Last Shot. The things I loved most were the thoughts of Han being a father and his thoughts of his problems with being a father, and like Ben Solo being a baby, and like those interactions, like, were things that we didn't get to see in the movie that I loved in the book.
But then
in The Last Jedi, you get a whole behind the scenes view of what Luke was going through that you don't get in the movie. And you get the thoughts that Rey has when she wakes up in the throne room, which you don't see in the movie. And then her interactions with Ben that you don't get in the movie, and how both of them are dealing with that connection while also dealing with the paths they've chosen. Like, I get what you're saying, John, that some people take those as fact. And Jason Fry came out and said, look, guys, this is my interpretation. This is my story. That doesn't necessarily mean it's A or B. It's how you take it. However, this is what I wrote. And I think that's what, James, what you were saying, is sometimes people take it as, oh, it's definitely this. And Jason was like, no, guys, it could be A or B. I left it open for your interpretation.
I think the easier thing is like, I love it when the novelizations say, and then Rey also went into this other room and she talked to this other guy and he did this thing. And it's like a new character or something. But I think where people really enjoy the novels is when it says, like, here's what was going through Rey's mind at that moment. And that's the stuff that I'm like, you get that in the movie, but you have to kind of interpret it for yourself because it's art. Whereas this version is trying to write it down like it's fact, you know?
But at the same time, people tend to forget those things that are said in the book. Because what John is saying is people pick and choose what works for their argument. So in the novelization, at the end of The Last Jedi, it is said that Rey has no more compassion for Kylo Ren. That is the exact word that is used. She has no more compassion. And that's when she shuts the door. And people seem to forget that. But then they use other arguments from the book to argue for other things. I get what John's saying, and I get what you're both saying. I tend to love all the details. I'm someone that soaks them all in. But there has to be a responsibility of the reader to know that you can't pick and choose what content to argue with.
It's only human nature to see what you want to see. Right, and that causes a lot of problems, in my opinion, with the fandom. So if I had to choose, and I have no idea about this, but I wouldn't be shocked if there are people behind the scenes over there that are like, man, I wish we just never did these things. But anyway.
To answer that question, John, it reminds me of like at my company where I work, we have a forum, and we're always like, why do we have this forum? Like, why would we create a forum for people to sit and argue with?
Yeah.
But the ultimate truth is it's amazing, and we would never get rid of it because it's a destination spot. People enjoy it. They use it. They're always reminded of our company every time they're using it. You know, I mean, there's so many benefits to it, and we would never get rid of it. That's the same thing as these novels. Like, we would never do this because they'd be cutting out a certain audience that would like loves these and really wants that product. But at the same time, like, sometimes I understand that, like, how can you be tasked to take a 2-hour story and like turn it into 13 hours of content without somebody going, look at this line.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
Right. You know?
So, but I definitely do enjoy the most wanted, the last shot, the Thrawn alliances, the stuff that you don't get in the movies, because it's just adds to the overall culture and world that is.
I agree.
Star Wars.
Those are on a different plane, so I agree with that. But yeah, we'll talk more about future books that are coming out on Thursday, because we're doing a 2019 look ahead episode. But this one is looking backward as we continue here. And guys, we always like to make predictions on the podcast. We swing for the fences sometimes. Sometimes we nail it. Sometimes we don't nail it. But I know
sometimes we eat sugar.
Sometimes we eat sugar, right? Sometimes maybe, you know, we get pies in the face. We'll see who does in a few months at Star Wars Celebration. Yeah, maybe.
We already know.
Yeah, we all know. See, it's what you want to see, folks. Hopefully I don't see whipped cream coming out of my eyelids. But I know two that stood out for me that I was way off on and one that I nailed. And the one I'll start with way off was, we were talking about when Favreau was announced as creating a Star Wars TV show for the new Disney streaming service, I was so dead set that it was going to be about Darth Vader. And I was like, yep. I even wrote an article about it. I'm like, it's going to be about Darth Vader because they're going to sell it. They're going to want to sell it, blah, blah, blah. And it's about the Mandalorian. So that
Mandabore.
Was way off. Yeah. And one I nailed that I did a little detective work is, I said there's going to be a MacGuffin in Solo, and it's going to be about the stuff called the Coaxium. And then me and Lacey are sitting there in the theater, and the first thing we see is this Coaxium, and the whole movie winds up being about this MacGuffin that was this stuff called Coaxium. So I had one that I really nailed and one that I completely whiffed on. Do you guys have any that you can look back on from this past year that you're like, oops, and yep?
I mean, I don't really know. We were kind of talking a little bit before the show. Like, when the Resistance show was coming out, it felt like it was really divided, you know, on what this show was going to be. And I was like, I kind of think it's just going to be like this, you know. And I feel like I gave a pretty good picture of what it ended up being. I kind of pegged it more towards kids, and I think it is a little bit higher more on the adults than I thought, because I actually thought the episodes were going to be like Poe just showing up for the beginning to give like a mission and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, I think that the show is nothing close to like Rebels, which is what everybody was really leaning towards. So I was like, guys, I think it's totally going to be this. And this is basically what it ended up being.
I remember being surprised that you took that stance, because you were so in love with Rebels. And I thought we were right off the tails of Rebels. Kanan just died. James was still crying. It was still very serious. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, no, this show's probably just going to be for kids. I was like, I remember being shocked that you said that, because I didn't even think about that take. So that is a good call. You made a good call on that one.
I'm sure I would actually like it if people put things like in the comments that I whiffed on.
Me too.
Because I enjoy that stuff, because I'm fully well aware that like, I don't have any idea you know, on certain stuff. Like, you know, will Captain Phasma survive The Last Jedi? I have no freaking clue. I don't know. I can write it out and make a total great argument for why that would be the case. And
you
then
did know Han Solo was
going
to survive Solo, though. So credit to you for that.
Yeah, I called it. We did do the Solo predictions.
The Solo challenge. And Lacey won.
And Lacey did win that. So it goes to show that if you're going to take the side of anybody, you should probably take Lacey's.
Yeah.
However, says the girl, says like the girl just ate a bunch of sugar last week. Like, yeah, take the girl and that knows nothing.
I was going to say, too, that although when we talk about, you know, Last Jedi in episode 9, Kylo Ren tends to sway her argument.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Whoops her mind. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I'm pretty proud that I got the highest score for the Solo challenge. I'm pretty proud of that. I totally ate it on Val being in Fist Nest. I was positive that was true.
Oh, right. Yep.
And for weeks, I was like, guys, this is what it is. And I was so wrong. And I'm glad I was, by the way. Totally glad I was. That Infus best, the best character. I was totally right on talking about the relationship with Han and Kira. I said they were going to make out a lot. I was totally right about that. James was wrong about that within the first 5 seconds of that movie.
That was like the fastest that I've ever been wrong
and
in any
wrong.
Of our Star Wars challenge.
I'm trying to think of what I got right. It's tough because, as you guys know, that I came in after The Last Jedi, so I can't really gauge on anything with that. But, I mean, I was around. I never thought that they'd bring Clone Wars back. And they did. And I was there for the announcement. It was a shock. And I was with John where I was like, there's no way they're going to make a show about The Mandalorian. And The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I was really shocked about that.
Other than that, I mean, I've been wrong about the trailer thing. I wish I was right about that. But I'm very interested to see, guys, in the next year what I end up getting right about episode 9. And what I'm terribly wrong about, which will probably be the
majority.
We're
definitely going to do prediction shows on that for sure. And as always, often repeated but never replicated properly, we'll do the episode 9 challenge, whatever the movie's called. The Son of Darkness challenge, right, Lacey?
Oh my gosh. I hate that title. I hate it.
Don't worry.
Write it down, guys, because if it's the title, you have it right now. This is our true opinion.
Maybe we'll do an
title.
After show for Patreon where I talk Son about why
darkness.
I hate Son of Darkness.
Yeah. I'm still sticking on Fate of the Galaxy, guys. We'll see.
Yeah, if not for the podcast as a whole, to Resistance Broadcast have called the name of the movie, I want it to be that, man.
I do too.
That would be, because I think it's a good title and like it makes sense, you know. I'm sure whatever they come up with will also be like, oh, that's good. That's great too.
Oh man,
you know?
It'll be better. JJ Abrams is he gets paid to do this sort of thing. Guys, let me ask you, we had a bunch of guests on the podcast, mainly in the first half of the year, right? So I just want to run down them. And if you guys have any memories of those episodes, let's talk about quickly. So we had Alex and Steve from Black Series Rebels. We had Ash
which
Crossan.
Really, really don't like, they love Force Ghosts. They love them.
Yeah. Alex wants every Force Ghost in episode 9. That's right.
And James threw up in his mouth. When he
James hates Force Ghosts. We had Ash Crossan from Entertainment Tonight. Yeah, online. We had John Rocha from Collider Video. We had Alex Damon from Star Wars Explained. Made us all feel very dumb about how much
so
we know about
dumb.
Star Wars.
So dumb.
And he's a Star Wars trivia champ now. We told him if he ever wins that, he has to come back on the show. So Alex gets to come back, and this
we
time
we believed in him. We were on
have
his
Molly
side.
Have Molly join us as well. And Clayton Sandell from ABC News, who that's my memory because he came on and kind of broke some cool stuff for us that Todd Fisher had told him, Carrie Fisher's brother, that they would be using stuff not only from The Force Awakens, which was publicly known, but also they dug some stuff up that Rian Johnson left on the cutting room floor of The Last Jedi.
We were Clayton's able to, our boy.
Push that. So thank you very much, Clayton. That's my standout. There's a lot of others I'd like to get into that were fun, but anything sticks out from you guys from those visits and those episodes?
My standout was what you guys said earlier with the Black Series Rebels guy, because I've, number one, we hardly ever have that many episodes with that many people on. So yeah, it was fun just because there was like a ton of us.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing was that I remember them specifically saying like, and then like they wrote it out, like the whole story. And they're like, and then it's like an army. Everybody who was in Attack of the Clones and Force and Phantom Menace, they're all back, you know, like they're all going to be standing with
James
the
is like-
Force Ghost Army and stuff. And I'm just like, man, I sometimes, because they're like a humor, satire kind of podcast, that they'll run with it just because it's funny, not because they necessarily believe those things. But that's the thing, is I'm sitting there thinking, man, I hope nobody thinks this is going to be what episode 9 is, because they can't do that. It's just, it's not going to happen, you know? But, I had a good time on that episode. And the only other thing, like, I mean, we had fun with everybody, but I just want to mention Clayton Sandell, just because he's like, he is such an interesting follow, and he almost tweets nothing about Star Wars. It's like everything that he's talking about is like, it's like, oh, the war that's going on over here. And you're like, oh, yeah, I see that all the time. Oh, no, wait, he's there?
Yeah.
Oh, he's there, you know, like
investigating, see, like murders and stuff. Yeah.
Crazy, he just confronted that guy who killed his wife. News. He went up to the guy's house. He's like, "Do you have anything to say about this?" And the guy's locking the door. The next day, the guy gets arrested for murder.
He's doing the good work over there, like, while also dressing up as Kylo Ren. I nerded out when we talked about that. He is a hero.
But you know
eyes.
What, Lacey? Like, because he does that kind of work, and he kind of said that on our podcast, like, Star Wars is fun, and it's his enjoyment that he has with his son.
And him and his son, yeah.
And it's like, it's such a good reminder that someone even like, who works at ABC News and sees all these horrible things and puts himself in the line of fire, like that guy could have done something to him that he confronted. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's just a reminder that Star Wars is a good time. And
it's
that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Space wizards.
Him talking about going Facebook tag sale shopping with his son for action figures was awesome. I got such a kick out of that.
He's so funny. He's just awesome. And then on the same thread, Roka, you know, the good John.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with him, too. Like, he's just so knowledgeable about everything movies. So he brings this background that isn't just Star Wars. He has, like, a film industry background, which is so interesting to me because I love film and, like, the whole process and film production and... You know, it was interesting to hear from him where he said there was a time period where he kind of stepped away from it because it got a little too crazy. And then for him to come back and he's like, Star Wars is back. I'm all about this. Like, I just loved it. I love hearing people's excitement. And I think that's why I love talking with Alex Damon, too, because that's someone like us who's in it all the time.
Yeah.
And to just hear someone that's so smart, like he knows so much about Star Wars that I'm like, I don't know anything. Yeah. I'm an idiot. Why am I on this podcast? And then you have a guest like Ash, who's like super fun. She's the Porg Queen. She's, you know, a fan that's been a fan her whole life that thoroughly enjoys it. That
Therm scissor punching.
She started that.
That was funny. That was a good time.
But
she
someone...
was on the episode where we discussed the coaxium.
Yep.
And it was crazy because we were all like, we might have nailed it. And therefore, like in some small way, might have kind of ruined that movie for her.
And then she also says, right, she was talking about how she hated how the toys spoiled the movie. And John's like, well, actually, my report says that on this toy. And I was like, oh, no.
It's pretty funny to think, you know, that we also have an influence on them. Like, they're sitting in the theater and they're like, I was on that podcast and they were talking about this coaxium and now it's in the movie.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I know what's going to happen.
I just think it shows the guests
but
that
we've had.
But
that's part of the fun.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just so many different guests that we've had. And I look forward to 2019, who we could have on. But if you look at them as like next to each other, they're all so different and they like Star Wars in so many different ways, from trivia and crazy stuff to someone really likes porgs and, you know, has loved it her whole life but isn't into the crazy trivia stuff. And then we have someone that's on the film side and someone that's on the news side and someone that, you know, also has a podcast. And there's just so many different Star Wars fans, which I think shows why Star Wars fandom is so great, because everybody takes it in differently. And I think that's why I love having guests on, is because I love talking to people about Star Wars and hearing about how they enjoy it.
And they were all really gracious guests, and they brought a lot to each episode. Like, you know, there could be guests sometimes that'll come on a podcast and like bring nothing to the table, or they'll mail it in.
Right.
And we've had guests in the past that I felt personally mailed their appearances in. I'm obviously not going to say who. But all those people last year, I thought, did such a great job. And they were such great episodes. And we even submitted some of those to Star Wars Celebration for consideration because we thought they were such good episodes. But I have to say, like, John Rocha especially, like, everyone was gracious. But he's such a gracious, nice guy. Like, I never forget that. And
so even awesome.
Off the air, he's like, Star Wars Newsnet, I love you guys. You guys are positive. You guys are great. We get articles from you guys for every Jedi Council episode. And just, like, he's thankful to us, and I'm just like, dude, that's crazy, because you guys have had this huge channel. Like, we just, you know, put up the articles. Like, it's just it just makes you feel good, and I'll never forget that part of the podcast last year's having those guests. So, as Lacey, like you said, I look forward to who we can have on in 2019, because having guests, although I love just sitting down with you two, having guests is always a good time.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Dare you? Is that what it is?
No. Go ahead, James.
I just wanted to say one more thing. If you haven't had a chance to go listen to the Alex Damon Star Wars Explained and the John Rocha episode, those hold up because they were basically reviews. The Alex Damon one, we had him on to basically kind of talk about Last Shot, the novel. So if you haven't read the book or you just finished the book, either way, it doesn't really matter. You could go and listen to that episode and get like our honest takes on it and get his take as well. Mm-hmm. As far as the Rocha one, it was like right after Solo came out. So John always, I'm telling you, he watches movies and thinks three layers deeper than everybody else, because he's noticing things and connecting the dots between, like, oh, well, you know, it's his emotional disconnect from his father, you know, and you're like, well, I wasn't even like, I mean, maybe like with Kylo Ren, you could get that, but like all this crazy stuff that he talks about, but he picked up on so many things from Solo, and he's just a good listen. And that was basically just like a review episode. So those ones are good, like no matter when, and they're evergreen. You could go listen to them forever and ever on, you know. I would go watch Rocha review Force Awakens, you know.
And check out their stuff off the podcast too, because all do great stuff off of our podcast.
Yeah.
And the episodes are easy to find if you go to Spotify or SoundCloud. Or we weren't doing video then. We were doing video, but with visuals. You just our whole catalogs are right there for you guys to check out. So I agree. Those were around April, May-ish. Check those episodes out. Moving on to the next thing, just about the podcast in general, for over the past year, it's been crazy. Like, so much has changed. When I listen back to the first episode from 2018, I didn't even know Lacey yet. We may have followed each other on Twitter or something.
Yes, we did, I think.
And then, so it was me and James, and we had Bill and Pat, and Bill and Pat left. And then, so it was me and James, and Lacey kind of came in as Bill was still with us, right? And then,
Bill went to Awesome Con.
Yeah, right. So how Lacey got on the podcast is she had asked me if we can advertise for the event that we'll no longer mention by name on Star Wars Newsnet. And I was like, yeah, sure. Let me talk to Val about it. And we put ads up for that event. And then I'm like, have you ever podcasted before? And she's like,
so this is no. So I was in Disneyland.
I may have it wrong.
Yeah, I was in Disneyland at the time by myself because I'm so cool and I have so many friends.
Flossing.
I was in Disneyland by myself, and I was texting John while waiting in line at Thunder Mountain on Twitter about talking back and forth about this. And he goes, oh, so when do you get back? And I was like, on Monday. I was like, I get back to Connecticut on on Monday and he, or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it was. And John goes, Connecticut. I was like, yeah, Bethel. And he goes, what? John and I live 25 minutes from each other and we had no idea. And so
like
then
my wife's from Bethel.
Yeah. So he was like, have you ever thought about talking about Star Wars on a podcast? I was like, well, I've always wanted to, but I haven't like thought about it. No one's really asked me. And he's like, well, you know, let's chat about it. So one night we had a chat on like Skype with you guys and you guys were like, so what do you think about this? And I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I think you guys asked me about Reylo, actually.
Probably. Didn't you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's history. Then
and
I
then
was on.
What Lacey doesn't know is me and James stayed on the call after she got off the call.
Oh, what'd you like, say?
So I was like, so what do you think? And he's like, well, and I was like, she swears like a truck driver, right? He's like, yeah, kinda. And he's like, I was surprised her first time meeting us that she would be so relaxed. I was like, I know, but I'm sure she wouldn't be like that in the podcast. So then we do our first like show with Lacey.
James was so nervous. He was like, Lacey, I just want you to know, like, we don't really swear on the podcast. And I was like, I know.
If we do every once in a while, we try to edit it out, you know?
But I do it as a joke. I don't do it seriously.
But then
the funny thing is listeners probably don't realize I have the mouth of a truck driver.
Right, right. But we get on the call before we're recording our first episode with her. I'm like, Lacey, just, you know, take it easy. Try not to swear, you know, that sort of thing. But I think we both kind of, I don't know, James, what was your first impression? Because I remember we were both kind of like, she is a dynamic personality, and I think that'd be a good addition. I know we were like pretty excited about it.
I'm remembering the conversation you had with her, where you were like kind of being like, okay, like be cool, Lacey, be cool.
I'm always nervous about bringing anybody in when you just don't know enough about them.
I'm nervous with you guys talking about me while I'm here. This is making me nervous.
Yeah. So I was just scared that like, you know, in just a regular call or whatever, when they're like, oh, you know, this is what I'm totally like. We're not recording this, right? Okay, yeah, whatever. And then as soon as we're like live and recording, right? It's never live, but it's like, you know, like, what are we going to do? Should we just re-record that episode without that person? Like, that's what I was afraid of. And luckily it hardly ever goes that way, that someone's like so bad of a fit that like, they don't even last the week, you know, or something like that. So of course it was fine. Of course it was great. And, Lacey has been a great addition. I think over the course of the time that we've had with Lacey has been like some of the best the podcast has ever been.
I agree.
This is so sweet to hear. You guys are so nice.
I think there's something about...
This has been the best part of my year, joining this podcast.
All right, Lacey, take off your headphones. Now we're really going to talk about you. No, I'm kidding. Put them back on. I think, you know, it's interesting because I think Lacey brought a new perspective from a woman's perspective, which was missing on the podcast, which is huge, huge in Star Wars in general with fandom. Girls loving Star Wars is a growing...
I'm like blushing.
...aspect of the community. But also just like, I think how we banter, the three of us, a lot of people bring that up, that they listen to the show for our chemistry, not necessarily for like what we talk, our takes, because like we just showed you, some of our takes are way off base. So I think it's just the genuineness, and I think you bring that that down to earth, like this is real, we're not, you know, BSing sort of thing. So it's been a hell of an 8 months, and glad to have you aboard, Lacey. So you'll have your first full year with us in 2019. So
can I ask my question now?
Yeah,
I was gonna say I hope she goes back to that, because we kind of left that thread dangling.
What was your favorite moment of 2018?
On the podcast or in general?
On the podcast and in general.
In general, in Star Wars or in life?
Yes, in Star Wars. Not the birth of your son.
So many questions. I was gonna say it's obviously the birth of my son. Okay, James, you want to go first?
No, okay. No. Best moment in Star Wars this year. This just off the top, the success of the solo challenge. We did the Last Jedi challenge, and it was just something that just our podcast did, And we decided for the solo challenge, we were going to try to branch out, and we were kind of going to see if we could do a little more promotion for it by involving other podcasts and other things like that. And at the end of the day, like, we got a lot of responses from a lot of people, and it was just the way that we did it. We had like a website set up and people could go, and it cataloged everybody's answers, and we got like thousands of responses. I mean,
James,
thousands
you killed
of
it
people
with that.
Entering
James did that.
That
was all you.
So it yep. really surprised me too. Cause there was even like speed bumps. Like the day we launched it, we were like, oh no, this stuff is going on. What do we do? And yet like the whole thing played out perfectly. And we got a clear cut winner and everything. It was just, everything worked really well. And, I was really happy that all that went down, and it all revolved around the biggest event of Star Wars
yep.
this year, which was the release of the film, the right. one film we got in 2018. So, yeah.
And thanks to Black Series Rebels and Star Wars Explained for doing yeah. that with us. That was huge. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Lacey for hooking us up from our end of the camp with the giveaways, because we had a cool autograph in there. I think that was part of it from Jonas mm-hmm. Sotomo. So
yeah.
I don't know what mine would be. Best on the podcast? Best moment on the podcast? Man. I really enjoyed the episode with Clayton a lot, just because of it just felt like it was a perfect mix of just pure fandom and love for Star Wars, and also just the news that he gave us was like, so it was such a privilege for him to have shared that with us, even though it wasn't a big chunk of news. He could have, mm-hmm. he could have wrote a story on that for ABC News or something, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's just been a crazy year. Maybe getting on YouTube, which was James's idea, and I've been like, anytime James has a new idea for the podcast, my first reaction is, I don't like it, because I hate...
James is generally always right.
I hate trying new things. I hate, and sometimes I say I don't like it, and we end up... James gets annoyed to a point where we don't do things. So, I think being on YouTube, I think starting to like really putting our time into growing and learning how to do this, like looking in a camera right now and that sort of thing. And also, I don't want to be a plugger here, but our Patreon page, I'm very proud of this thing. Mm-hmm. Lacey operates it for us, but the three of us together really want to make it without being braggadocious here, if that's the appropriate word, but we wanted to make it the most active Patreon out of any Star Wars podcast out there. We try to yeah. do daily content, giveaways, awesome tiers that really make it worth it for you guys who are a part of it. So thank you. I'm really proud of that. So those two things would probably be my top moments.
I don't want to get like too corny. I'm still blushing, by the way. I don't want to
we'll
be like too corny, but honestly, joining this podcast was the best thing that happened to me this year. You guys have been so nice, and the community has been so nice and welcoming and accepting of all my crazy thoughts and wacky things that I say about Star Wars. And just so
your
nice.
Crazy, wacky situation.
You know, I don't want to get into it, but like personally, I've had like a pretty rough year. But this has always been a constant for me, and you guys have been like the best. These guys have been the best that if I'm having a bad day and I go online, like we don't have to talk about Star Wars. We often do. But sometimes if I'm like, I'm having a bad day and here's why, like they're the first mm-hmm. ones to support me and give me advice and back me up, which is super nice to have. But just being a part of this community has been so overwhelmingly awesome for me. And I can't wait to see what happens in the next year. And I promise to make more news shows when we have more news.
The Star Wars News Net news show. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Lacey went out to San Diego Comic Con and a bunch of people were like, oh, you do that Star Wars News Net show. And then she never did another one.
They'll be back. I promise.
But I don't know. I guess we're up against it here, but any closing thoughts on our 2018 retrospective?
I want to know what people, their favorite moments are. What are your favorite moments? Tell us, please.
Where can they tell us that?
In the comments or tweet at us.
Yeah.
Where can they tweet at us?
At RBATSWNN.
Oh, she's on point today, folks. She's got all the info.
James?
Hashtag TRB 2018.
Okay.
TRB 2018.
There you go. That's not one of our passwords, right?
I don't know. I'm still blushing. And it's so embarrassing that I'm still blushing. And I just want to like...
I think when I was talking earlier about Lacey coming on the show, and
can
like,
you stop talking about me on the show?
No, I'm saying in relation to when that was talking, or when we were talking about that. I think it's crazy just to think like we've talked a little bit about the growth of the podcast as a whole too, but like really, the past year of being on the podcast, like when we started, we were all. Our audio was running like through Skype and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
We've all separated. And so now like the audio has gone up. We've done,
the video quality is great too.
That like, it used to kind of be like one topic that we would talk about, and we have worked really hard to create like separate segments, and we've revised those segments and changed them up based on what we think people are doing. And the show has gotten better for those reasons. We have, what else did we do? We made that move to YouTube, and there was those, we were doing cards for a while because we weren't capable of doing video at the time. So we were doing, all right, we'll just like make up these visually, you know, interesting cards that talk about what we're doing, and we'll just change them out for the yep. different subjects. So it makes it easier to flip through. And then we've from there, we've moved away from that. Now we're full video. And it's funny because like every time I look back at those things, it's crazy to me. I feel like, oh man, we used to do that. And so what gets me really excited for the next year is I want to look back at 2018 and be like, that's what we were doing with the podcast at the time.
Yeah,
like, because like, you know, it would be so nice if it was like, oh man, now we have like the whole studio thing. Now we're all like on lavalier mics or something. Like, I'd like to make that the transition for you guys to listen to our Thursday episode, because in Thursday, we're going to be talking about all the things that are upcoming in 2019 that are Star Wars related, and all the things in 2019 that we hope to achieve as a podcast, like kind of our goals, kind of what we, where we'd like to see things go. So, I mean, I think a lot has happened this year that goes like under the radar. Cause like, you're like, oh, you know, they changed, their names aren't just random letters anymore. Now they have like this nice little image or something mm-hmm. that goes with it. You know, it's easy to overlook those stuff, but when you look back at what the product used to be, the podcast has grown a lot. So
yeah. Yeah, I guess my final thing here is I do want to say thanks to Pat and Bill. They're not in the pod anymore, but they were a part mm-hmm. of 2018. Pat used to do a lot of our editing. Bill brought a fun energy to a lot of our segments, especially Is the Force With You. So thanks to you guys.
Gosh, what was it that take a seat?
Yeah, take a seat was Bill's thing.
And they're still super supportive.
The late, great Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, they're still good friends of the pod. I want to thank people who have helped share the pod. I may be missing some here, but Star Wars Time, Micah. Fantatrax, you guys are great. That guy, Neil Lowry, he just, I guess, shares everybody's stuff. Black Series Rebels, thank you guys. Beyond the Blast Doors, those guys are always cool sharing our stuff and our giveaways. Brick City Blockade, that podcast network, I think they're out of New Hampshire. Tatooine Sons retweets a lot of our stuff. And, of course, Val Trichkoff, the owner of Star Wars News Net. We are the podcast of Star Wars News Net, and he gives us a huge platform for people to see the pod, and we don't take that for granted. We really appreciate that. And you know, he stays behind the scenes because he doesn't like glory or anything like that, or accolades, but he's the most humble dude and so great, and we're very appreciative of him. And then you two, I don't know if you guys know this, but how the podcast works is I show up And then I talk into this thing. And then James and Lacey do all the editing and the visuals and the designs and the logos and all that stuff. And then we all fight about it until we find the good stuff we like. But these two do all that stuff. James comes up with our t-shirt designs and does all the YouTube production. Lacey runs the Patreon page. So without those two, it'd be a really horrendous, horrendous podcast. So thank you two guys for making this thing bigger than I could have imagined.
I'm blushing again.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm thinking like, well, you know, well, thanks, number one. But secondly, too, is like, I think so often that the show couldn't happen if we didn't have as much consistent topics to talk about.
On John does, you know, his research.
You bring it up and I'm like, that's good, too. That's also gold. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. And he puts together the whole thing. So
this is such a loving episode.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because the episode that came out this past Thursday where we argued about the Jedi losing the Force, people are going to be like, you guys argue too much. So they'll be like, listen to the New Year's Eve episode. But guys, that's pretty much it. So I'm just going to bounce myself out of here by saying you guys can find me at Johnny Hoey, and you guys can find me in 2019 starting on Thursday where we're going to talk about the future of Star Wars and the podcast. I'm really excited about that. So thank you all. On behalf of me, you guys have any final statements for the folks out there?
Thanks for a great year. My life's changing. Everybody in my family knows that I do the podcast thing, and they're always asking about it because it's growing and it's a lot of fun, and they're excited for me. And it's all because people want to listen, you know. So thanks to the listeners. Also, I'm James at Meyer Trunks, like I end all my episodes with.
Yeah, and maybe in 2019 you'll finally get that at James Baney.
Maybe.
Don't give away our Thursday topic. Just kidding.
Lacey?
People can find me on Twitter at Lacey Gillerin. I'm also on Instagram at Lacey Gillerin. I'm going to keep spreading the good word for Kylo Ren and Ben Solo in 2019. You can see all of us at Star Wars Celebration on the podcast stage.
Thank you all who listen to us twice a week. We're not taking much of a break. We'll be back on Thursday. We're not taking any breaks. 2019, the future of the pod, Hustling. All that stuff. Thanks to everyone who listens, who subscribe, who are patrons, who buy our merch, who go to Star Wars News Net, who fellow pods and stuff like that, who support us. Thank you so much. We love you guys. We appreciate you
our
guys.
Our generals.
And stupid
admirals, generals,
our admirals and our generals on our Patreon page. Thank you guys so much, especially our generals. We have Adam Odell, Thomas, Carmelo, and Val. We salute you guys. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys on Thursday with another episode of the Resistance Broadcast. We'll see you around, kids.